Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today I'll be chatting with retired priest Father Al Scott about how Jesus inspires him to stay active in combining faith with action and helping those in need. After that, Michael Vanderberg from the St. Vincent de Paul Society will discuss the great good being done by the organization and why he remains committed to his Catholic faith despite some challenging times in his past. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my first guest today is Father Al Scott. I got to know Father Al when he called the Christopher offices looking for some of our news notes and books. And since then, I've learned that this retired priest, who is in his mid-80s, has more energy than men half his age because he is so inspired by his love of Jesus and the Church. He entertains residents at convalescent homes, helps feed the homeless with the Missionaries of Charity, brings Christopher literature to prisoners, and a lot more. So to tell us about his life and his work, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Father Al Scott. Father Al, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
I'm happy to be on the show.
Now, Father, I mentioned in my introduction of you that you are a retired priest, but your schedule is so busy that you don't sound at all retired. As you approach your 85th birthday, what is it that keeps you going with so much energy and hope?
Well, I tell you, I made a choice. Sit down and watch television and grow old, just withering away, or my motto is, I don't want to exist, I want to live. Some people die at 30 and are buried at 80. So I want to keep going until the Lord says, it's time, my bags are packed and ready, I'm out of here. But so far, he hasn't told me that, so that's why I'm plunging ahead and doing my part to light that candle and not curse the darkness.
Well, that sounds good. Were you always such a positive, outgoing, giving person? I mean, is that just a natural part of your personality?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a natural part of my personality. Some of my family members are kind of negative and so on, so I guess I didn't want to be like that. And God gave me the grace to kind of look at the bright side of life, not to be Pollyanna, but, you know, to see kind of the glass either half full or whatever. So I just, you know, I want to do my part to make things a little better for, because I enjoy what I'm doing, so it kind of gives me energy, too, so it feeds, you know, what I'm doing, the Lord's grace in me.
Yeah, so being a positive person is actually an act of rebellion and counterculture for you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of lines from your Christmas letter that we received at the Christophers. I just want to read for our listeners, because you write, some people invest their money in stocks and bonds, real estate, gambling, etc., but I invest in people, especially the discarded and forgotten people. So I want to know, from where does that compassion for the discarded and forgotten stem? Are there any particular people or experiences in your life who influenced you in that regard?
Well, when I was in high school, at Loyola High School in Los Angeles, I belonged to the Sodality, and they used to do outreach programs. I used to teach catechism in a very rundown, poor area of downtown Los Angeles, so little Hispanic children. And I don't know, that idea of just giving and sharing, and I also, I used to make cookies for the convalescent homes, and I've always kind of felt that God's call to work with those who were on the side of life, and that's why I identify so much with Pope Francis. And Mother Teresa, of course, is my great heroine, too.
Yeah.
I had the great privilege of saying Mass for her twice and having brief little talks with her a couple times and reading all the things she said and done, so that it tends to put fuel on the fire, because she lives the gospel. She doesn't read it. She puts it into practice, and it energizes me to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Father Al Scott. He is a priest at Our Lady of Refuge in Long Beach and also at St. Bernard's in Bellflower, California. Father Al is one of my rare guests. He has no book to promote, no CD to promote, no blog or website to promote. He's just here talking about the good work that he continues to do as a retired priest who's approaching 85 years old. And I just want to ask, because one of the things that you mentioned before is about convalescent homes, and I know you still visit them once a month. What do you do there, and how do your visits help the residents and patients?
I tell you, Tony, we have a great time. Once a month, We have two different combs we go to. We alternate each month. We go to one of them. And we spend about an hour and a half. We bring all the people that can come, sometimes younger, older, all the people that come in. We sing. We've got a young man who's, well, not a young man, he's an older man who does Elvis impersonation, Elvis's music. Mm-hmm. And he sings his music. And we bring another couple, a married couple, and they play the guitar. We hand out music sheets. And the people there, we adopt, the volunteers come and they adopt one of the residents there, stand by them. And occasionally, some of them will dance. Uh-huh. And we bring cookies and flowers, and we just celebrate. And we tell them that you're still important. You maybe can't get up and do the things you used to do, but you're still an important person. And we love you and care about you. And that's why the good Lord tells us to come and tell you, you are special.
Yeah.
So we never leave there without feeling enriched.
Yeah.
One of the homes we go to is an Alzheimer's ward.
Okay.
And one of the homes in Alzheimer's section, and we went during Christmas time, and one of the men there, who's a single father, brought two sons who were just wonderful young boys in grammar school,
mm-hmm.
and they brought stuffed animals and gave them to the people, and oh, it was such a joy to see them, Tony. It was terrific.
All right, so you're really making Jesus a real and active presence for these people. Is that what keeps Jesus alive for you in your heart and your soul, that outreach?
Absolutely. Some days, I mean, I have often on Sunday three masses, and I've had two in the morning and one coming up in the evening after the convalescent home, but even after that, I mean, I'm so energized. I mean, just to see the joy and the fact that other people can get off their television watching and their technology and say, I mean, that's not what really fills us. This is what fills us and makes us joyful.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Father Al Scott. He is also a longtime supporter of the Christophers. And I know that you're known for handing out our news notes, Christopher news notes, to a variety of people. So let me ask you, I know it's a self-serving question, but how are you using them and what do you find so great about those, Christopher? For news notes.
I'm very happy you brought that up because I get 100 copies every month of the newsletters. I give them as penances and confession instead of Hail Marys or Our Fathers. I give them because of a news note.
Uh-huh.
I say, take this and read it.
Mm-hmm.
I bring them to the local jail at Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. I give them out at the bank, wherever I go. I give out the news notes. I send them in my letters when I write people.
Mm-hmm.
I still write. I don't text. And so I just give them and let people know that the world we live in is so negative and so depressing that we need to light candles and not just sit around and curse their dog for the rotten world it is.
Yeah.
Because we have to do something positive.
Absolutely. Well, another one of the positive things that you do is you bring men from a local rescue mission in Long Beach to cultural outings like the symphony or stage plays, which sounds like a really interesting project. Tell us a little bit about that and the effect it has on the men.
Well, every Saturday night, we've got about 22 families in our area who have the men come to their house for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Four of the men come, and we have a wonderful dinner. And during the dinner, each one of the men shares their story. They tell about their addiction, about their family life, how they got to be where they are, and the homeless, drugs, whatever it's going to be they've been through. And the people who have the families are so impressed. They say, my heavens, Father, these men have been through so much. How they survive?
Mm-hmm.
And we feel very much like it's bringing, as Jesus, he sat down with the publicans and the people that were the rejects of society. The publicans and Pharisees made fun of him, but Jesus sat with those people that we're sitting with on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the dinner, we either go to the Long Beach Symphony, the Long Beach Pops. We go to different plays, stage plays. And for many of them, it was the first play or symphony they ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And after the play, we go and backstage and we meet the cast members to get their autographs. We recently met Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that was a big thing for the guys. That was great,
yeah.
Yeah, 90-something, and he's still going, so it's kind of an incentive for all of us.
So it really gives them a vision of the future?
They, they get enthused to realize there's a life beyond the streets, jail, prison, and misery. They see beauty, art, and things that are just really special.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful project that you're doing with them. I'm talking with Father Al Scott. He's a retired priest who doesn't sound so retired. But I'm curious, I know I'm going back a few years here, but what motivated you to go into the priesthood in the first place? Why did you feel called to serve Jesus and the church in that way?
I went to a Loyola High School, 4 years, Loyola University for a year, and then I kind of started thinking I wanted to do something in life more than just, you know, what I was doing and looking for the future. My grandfather was a very well-known layman lawyer in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He was in his 80s. One day he called me down one Saturday morning, remember it very well, to his office. I went down the bus or streetcar, whatever it was then. And we sat down, and he said, "Son, do you ever think of becoming a priest?" I said, "Grandpa, I couldn't. It's just too hard." And I thought of the long Jesuit tradition, which is great, but the long hours of years of study. And he said, "Why don't you just think about it, son?" And he said, he went through all the things the priest does, baptisms and confessions and mass and anointings and everything. And it was only about a very brief visit, 10 minutes. I remember it vividly. Mm-hmm. This was in April of 1952, and in September of 1952, I was at the seminary for the next 7 years.
Wow.
That one visit, that one little time, mm-hmm. My grandfather's daily communicant and a very wonderful person of love of the Lord set off the little candle that burned and got me going.
Wow, that seed was planted, and I mean, looking back at your life as a priest, how would you, you know, summarize it? I mean, because we say that job satisfaction among the priesthood is said to be very good. How would you look back on your priesthood?
I taught high school 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have been involved with parish ministry, even I was teaching high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to preach, to share the word of God. I prepare well my homilies and try to give examples, stories, illustrations to inspire people. And I just feel God calling me to be where I am, and I love doing what I'm doing. So the whole, you know, combination of outreach, and then I make an hour prayer every day, a holy hour, Eucharistic holy hour, in which I make my meditation, my spiritual reading, my divine office, say a couple of rosaries a day, and tie that all together with what I'm doing. It makes things happen. That's the fuel that keeps the fire burning.
Yeah, no, it sounds wonderful. And just in our final minute or two, let me ask you, because you know, you've mentioned it several times through the interview, this Christopher idea of lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. When you hit times of darkness in your life, which all of us have, how are you able to light that candle and move toward a brighter future?
Well, as I say, every day 6 days a week, I spend a good half hour in good exercise, keep my body working strong and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the combination of that with the holy hour every day takes care of the soul needs. And once a week, I go to Cal State Long Beach. I take a class, not with the seniors, because that's the old people. I go with the regular student body. I audit a class, so I've been doing that for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, see the young people there and get inspired by their studying and everything else. I have wonderful good friends that I have. I love good movies. And so the balance of everything together makes good things happen. So that's what I do.
I am Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to Father Al Scott. Father Al is a real role model, I think, for all of us on how to live with joy and faith and vigor for as long as God leaves us on this earth. Father Al, thank you so much for your ministry, for your support of the Christophers, and for talking to us today, because I think everybody can hear just through your voice on the radio and the way you speak how much love and joy and energy you convey through the radio wave. So thank you for everything, Father.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute with Michael Vanderberg of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Although many cultures around the world put their elders on a pedestal, ours often looks the other way at them. Perhaps because we don't want to admit we're getting older ourselves. In the end, we all lose out because our elders have much to teach us, much to share, and much yet to do in their senior years. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Appreciating Our Elders. In our Stay Young at All Costs world, it will help you to discover that older adults can live lives of growth, purpose, and joy, whether they are active and healthy or dealing with health challenges. To request your free copy of Appreciating Our Elders, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi. The St. Vincent de Paul Society is known as a global force for good because of the services and human kindness they provide to people in need. My next guest, Michael Vanderberg, is now helping to further that mission even more in his Dayton, Ohio community by becoming its executive director there. It's a job he took because he felt drawn to it as a Catholic. But Michael is also someone whose faith journey has not been a straight line because he is a survivor of child sexual abuse by a priest. To tell us more, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close Up, Michael Vanderberg. Hey, Michael, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thanks very much, Tony. It's great to be here.
Now, you've worked for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati for a while as Chief Development Officer, but you recently became Executive Director of the Dayton District Council of St. Vincent de Paul. So, for listeners not familiar with the work of St. Vincent de Paul, tell us a little about him and the society named after him.
Okay, so St. Vincent de Paul goes back to the early 1600s, and he was very well known for his personal works of charity and working with the poor, and some 200 years later, in the early 1800s, several folks in Paris, led by who is now Blessed Frederick Ozanam, mm-hmm. Formed the society to provide direct ministry to the poor, to live out the mission of corporal works of mercy in the streets of Paris, and that caught on. And today, we're in nearly 150 countries, and we have well over 700,000 members that we call Vincentians, mm-hmm. in about 44,000 conferences all over the world.
Wow.
And conferences are most often located in parishes. And so in the local area in Dayton, Ohio, we have 32 conferences that, again, are mostly in parishes, where Vincentians are volunteers who commit their lives to accompanying the poor, mm-hmm. and helping them navigate their lives and provide assistance to them, hopefully to keep them in their homes and to keep them in a stable environment. But in particular, in Dayton, Ohio, we also run the homeless shelters for the Dayton area.
Okay.
So that's a particular ministry that we do that is not very common for districts of St. Vincent de Paul to do.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, I was reading your website, which is stvincentdayton.org, if anybody wants to look it up. And I know that, you know, your programs have the homeless shelter, like you just said, and there's housing for people with special needs, a network of food pantries, among other things. And a lot of times when reading about these groups, we can lose sight of them as individuals and children of God. We just come to see them as labels like the homeless or the poor. Has working with these groups given you any new insights into who these people are as human beings and compassion for their situation?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, because that was one thing that clearly attracted me to this ministry in particular. I mean, over my lifetime, looking back, I can find the most joy for me and where I felt the presence of Jesus Christ the most was in my accompaniment of the poor. And having a reverence for the poor and not objectifying them is a key tenet of what St. Vincent de Paul Society stands for. And you know, the idea that we can see Christ in the eyes of the people in front of us who are exhibiting such dire need and perhaps are living in a manner that we find difficult to accompany, mm-hmm. that sort of tension that we're called to be in as Christians by personal accompaniment is such a wonderful faith experience for those of us who have the privilege of doing it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if anybody wants to see some of the people that The St. Vincent de Paul Society in Dayton has helped. You go to stvincentdayton.org, and there's a video on there called This Is Me, which it's a brief video, shares stories of people, their struggles, their stories, and how the St. Vincent de Paul Society has helped them. Today I'm talking with Michael Vanderberg. He's the executive director of the Dayton District Council of St. Vincent de Paul. So tell me this, what difference have you seen the society make in these individuals' lives?
Oh, my goodness. As I said before, principally, we're called to accompany them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always like to see when we're able to provide an opportunity to lift someone out of their crisis situation, and we witness those occurrences often. One of my staff just related to me a story of a family who came to a conference for assistance. There were 11 members in the household, and they were facing certain eviction.
Mm-hmm.
And several of our conferences came together and provided them the assistance they needed, not just to avoid eviction in the short term, but to help them navigate to places of assistance, both governmental and private,
mm-hmm.
to stabilize their situation. And,
yeah.
You know, it's very real for us when we're working with a family who's in their own home. And we know that if not for the interaction of our volunteers who are committed Vincentians, they would end up in our shelters.
Yeah.
And we don't want to see that. We also have the privilege of being sort of the place people go when all of the safety nets break for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do have pretty full. We have two shelters that we run. On a typical day, we'll have over 400 people that we're housing, and anywhere from 60 to 100 children among those folks.
Wow.
And it's certainly our privilege to serve them. Thankfully, most of them have short stays,
mm-hmm.
But some of them don't. Some of them have chronic issues that keep them in the homeless state. As many as 80% of them self-identify with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very privileged to be there to serve them.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Michael Vanderberg about his work as executive director of the Dayton District Council of St. Vincent de Paul in Dayton, Ohio. You mentioned your Catholic faith before, Michael. So I'm curious, is your faith something that's always been important to you, or did its role in your life evolve over time?
Well, I think similar to a lot of cradle Catholics, it was always there in the background for
mm-hmm.
me. I can point to my mother in particular as being sort of the strong, stable foundation for my faith, and she continues to be that to this day,
yeah.
Thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like a lot of other folks, I spent some time away from the church, not
mm-hmm.
completely away,
mm-hmm.
but probably more of a Christmas and Easter type of a Catholic.
Sure.
And maybe a little more frequent than that, but
mm-hmm.
I've learned to know the love of Christ and to fully embrace my faith as my brokenness allows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things in your background is that you are a survivor of abuse by a priest, and you've managed to move forward inside the church. And so I'm just curious about getting to that point, about moving forward. I think I read something where you were able to separate the church as the mystical body of Christ from the human representative of the church, who are fallible human beings. How were you able to move forward?
Well, the simple answer is grace.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Through grace, I came through the realization that what Christ has planned for his church is not necessarily represented by the humans that make it up at any given point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, shall we say, executed well by people by people who are in authority within the institutional church. And so that sort of humility mm-hmm. to recognize that God has challenged us to work together to spread his gospel, that means that I have a responsibility, even as someone who was hurt by the church, I have a responsibility to do what I can to live my life and to help lead others in a similar way that brings us closer to God. And that's not just the laity, that's also the clergy, and our close collaboration with them is so important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the scars you endured from abuse are different from the scars experienced by, say, the people who come to St. Vincent de Paul Society for help. But at the same time, is there some common denominator that links you with these people you serve and that you have all struggled and endured, and albeit in different ways?
Oh, definitely. And the whole subject of redemptive suffering has been a really important thing for me to ponder and to talk about and to, mm-hmm. and to try to witness. In other words, we don't ever wish suffering on another person, but we can certainly take wonderful value from the suffering that we witness in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that, you know, God himself humbled himself to come among us, and he came among us in a vulnerable fashion. We were just reminded of that in the nativity, a baby in a manger. How much more vulnerable can you get from that?
Sure.
Than that.
Sure,
yeah. And not only that, he witnessed in a very public way in his adult ministry, how to be vulnerable and how to endure suffering and how to make that part of understanding what God is, what is love, how do we understand the depth of love apart from suffering? How do we understand light apart from darkness? This theme is really, really important to me in my Christian experience, and I hope that my work and my ministry helps others discover the same.
Now, beautifully said, and I think your ministry absolutely will help others. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Michael Vanderberg about his work as Executive Director of the Dayton District Council of St. Vincent de Paul. They're doing a lot of wonderful work, both in Dayton, Ohio, and around the world, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, helping those who need help, who are at the very vulnerable points in their lives, and like Michael just said, they're accompanying the vulnerable people, the people who have been hurt in society, who have experienced some bad breaks, and they're giving them a hand up, helping them get out of their darkness. So check out this website, stvincentdayton.org. And Michael, thanks so much for the work you're doing to help others and for sharing their stories and your story with us today.
You're welcome, Tony, and thanks for all you do.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.